This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Amonok is the latest community in the region to develop community spread of COVID-19, according to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. Active cases in the lower Yukon hub cannot be linked to outside travel, which means that COVID-19 is spreading among community members. The City of Amonok, Amonok Tribal Council, and Chulunawik Native Village support the determination of community spread. The village has been under lockdown for nearly a month after residents came down with the virus. The Amonok Tribal Council extends the lockdown by 3 weeks every time it learns of a new case. The lockdown is currently set to expire at the end of December. As of Tuesday, the Amonok Tribal Council says 35 people in the community have tested positive for the virus. Three of those cases are active. The Regional Health Corporation has determined that community spread of COVID-19 is occurring in at least 10 other communities in the region. Akiak, Bethel, Chivak, Kunkiganak, Guithuk, Nabuskiak, Quinnahock, Scammon Bay, Tuksuk Bay, and Tuluksak. In more coronavirus news, it can be tough getting medevac to Anchorage for COVID, but getting back home can be even more difficult. Here's a story of how it went for one family. When his mother, Esther Green, was medevac to Anchorage in October, Wilson Green said no one in the family could accompany her. And later, when she was at Providence Hospital's intensive care unit, they could not visit or talk to her until she was released more than 2 weeks later.
I kept on calling Providence. They finally gave me a call and said they'll call as soon as they're able to have her talk to me. It was like 15, 16 days. Then they finally called me, and I didn't talk to my mom, but I saw her after they were ready to release her.
Esther had been flown to Anchorage with bad pneumonia and COVID. Wilson says she has only a hazy memory of her time in the hospital. When Esther was released, she was still confused, contagious, and needed lots of care. Wilson says she was attached to oxygen and could hardly walk up into the house.
She was really weak. And I said, oh, my God, she still needs to be in the hospital. Every two or three steps, you would have to stop, catch your breath, and then go again. It took a few minutes from the parking lot of my house to bring her in.
But that was only the beginning. She needed to have a private room in isolation. Everyone in the house had to wear a mask. Medical equipment needed to be set up to take care of her. And the family had to be trained to provide that care.
The transporter people gave me a crash course on how to adjust the oxygen level. And that machine also has a humidifier, which they showed me how to disconnect it and dump it, put it back together again, and it's constant monitoring.
Wilson says they were caring for his mother 24 hours a day, checking in with her all night long, adjusting oxygen levels, and doing whatever was needed. She needed to be isolated for 5 more days. It was not possible to transfer her to the Alaska Native Medical Center or even make an appointment until after the isolation was over. The family's challenges didn't end there. To get her back to Bethel after she was no longer contagious required overcoming a gauntlet of paperwork and specialized equipment to provide oxygen during the flight. Wilson says the biggest challenge was getting the paperwork.
And it's all coded, so the provider has to provide that to the air supply company, and it has to be attached with your paperwork when you go try check in. And you also have to have a clearance concerning COVID, saying she passed her contagious stage. We ended up having to be kicked back, not able to fly until we had those. We got kicked back twice.
Bethel elder Esther Green did get back home and is recovering. In more pandemic news, Alaska is heading into its darkest time of the year with an unsettling outlook for the COVID-19 pandemic. Steeply rising case numbers and deaths are hitting new highs. Now, though, we have some good news. The first doses of COVID-19 vaccine could be here as soon as next week, including in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media has the story.
State health officials announced Alaska's first batch of vaccine at a media briefing Monday. 35,000 doses from drug company Pfizer that could start being injected into people's arms as soon as next week. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink's analogy is that we're like a pilot at the end of a flight who can finally see the runway.
It's kind of like landing a plane. I think it's going to be a turbulent couple months. There's a lot going on with a lot of cases and a lot of hospital capacity, but the end is in sight, and this is a huge tool in our toolbox.
State officials say the initial shipment should be enough to cover several of the groups prioritized in what's known as Phase 1A of the vaccine distribution. Frontline healthcare workers, residents and staff at long-term care centers like nursing homes, community health aides, and emergency medical responders. While it will likely be months before the vaccine can be given to broader groups of people, Zink says even the limited numbers in the first batch, which is enough for about 5% of Alaska's population, will still have broad effects.
So if we're able to protect people in long-term care facilities from getting seriously ill from COVID, then we're able to kind of pull off all of the testing that we're doing there and the PPE and be able to pull that out and be able to reallocate it to other critical infrastructure workers and to schools.
Alaska faces extra challenges in delivering the Pfizer vaccine because doses have to be kept at an extremely cold temperature, which could make it difficult to reach recipients in remote areas. Officials say they hope to target those people with another vaccine made by a company called Moderna that has less rigorous handling needs and should arrive not long after the Pfizer version. In the Southwest Alaska hub community of Bethel, tribal provider YKHC is expecting to get 1,000 vaccines that it will keep in an ultra-cold freezer borrowed from the University of Alaska. Then doses will be loaded into coolers and flown on chartered planes that will go from village to village, says Incident Commander Jim Sweeney.
It's go out, coordinate with the people there. They come out to the runway, we inject them, and then we take off and go to the next place and do the same thing all over again.
Beyond logistics, another challenge is convincing Alaskans to take the vaccine. At a hearing earlier Monday, Zink fielded a barrage of questions about its safety and efficacy from state senators like Republican David Wilson of Wasilla.
We've heard from a couple of constituents that want to know, is the vaccine any way going to alter a person's DNA?
Thank you for that question. No, the vaccine will not alter your DNA. So the way that your cells work, the DNA is then transcribed into RNA that then makes proteins. This messenger RNA cannot get into the nucleus or the mitochondria where DNA lives.
For the healthcare providers that are being hit with an onslaught of COVID-19 patients, the vaccine news feels like a light at the end of the tunnel. But they also can't look past what they're dealing with right now, said Jared Kosin, who runs a trade group representing Alaska hospitals and nursing homes. Kosin's members are also concerned about getting employees on board with taking the vaccine, since many of them will be the first in line to get it. Because it will be approved on an emergency basis, providers won't be able to require people to take the COVID-19 vaccine in the same way they do for the flu, Kosin says.
I am hearing from kind of a human perspective that there's just anxiety about being in the front lines and being the first ones to do this. I think the onus is on us to all make sure that clean, correct, scientific information is getting out there. And all that information points to this vaccine being safe and effective so far.
Federal regulators are expected to approve the Pfizer vaccine for emergency use as early as Friday. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Lastly, in the daily COVID count, on Wednesday, the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation announced 33 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the region. The health corporation says there's a backlog of tests at various labs in the state, and the number does not show a decrease in confirmed cases. In alphabetical order by community, there was one case in Akiak, two in Bethel, three in Chivac, 3 in Congiganak, 10 in Kotlik, 1 in Nabuskiak, 10 in Pilot Station, and 3 in Skamon Bay. There are 363 active cases in the region. Since March, YKHC has announced 2,944 cases, 15 medevacs, 34 Bethel hospitalizations, and 15 deaths. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukdoon coming up.